Blog Talk Radio.
There's a word from the Lord this morning from the Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter, and the 8th verse reads, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? And we want to preach briefly on this subject this morning. Show us the Father. Show us the Father. All of us have what's called necessary worry.
Amen.
And this comes from having to make life-altering decisions that are not always clear-cut.
Amen.
Oftentimes, we look back upon the decisions we have made, and we wonder if we've made the right choice. In our human makeup, this is one of the most burdensome requirements. And there's another term that we deal with in our human makeup that is of greater importance and upon which our existence turns yet more critically. It's the question, the issue, the consideration, if you will, as to whether we human beings are in this whole business of living by ourselves.
Well,
sometimes we call, we cry, or we scream out for help. But is what we hear or think we hear only the echo of our own cry coming back at us from some endless emptiness? We speak of another, a supreme being, a Father who is wonderfully kind. But is that kind of talk only the projection of our own desires would fulfill? Or is it a pitiful make-believe created because we're afraid to be alone here in this dangerous and frightening world that is fraught with a deadly pandemic coupled with incompetent politicians who are fortifying white nationalist racism? We wonder sometimes if we're orphans with no one to watch over us, no one who cares about us. So this is the pivotal question. In other words, is there a God in the room? And if so, what is he like? And if he is, can we relate to him? Can we trust him? And this is what troubled Philip this morning. While Jesus was speaking the most tenderest words ever uttered on earth about the sadness that's built in to life and love, of that frightening shadow of death which came over our lives, and which threatened all of our true love affairs and our family circle. The words that almost everyone listening can repeat were spoken in the beginning of the 14th chapter of John. Some of us can't repeat these words without it touching our hearts or causing a catch in our throat, or causing a tear to form in our eyes. listen to Jesus as he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. For in my Father's house there are many rooms. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. No words spoken on earth are as tender and comforting as these. And it's interesting to notice that twice during this discourse, Jesus was interrupted. And twice Jesus showed an astonishing gentle manner in dealing with these interruptions. Because you know how annoying it is when you're engaged in serious conversation and someone butts in and interrupts this serious conversation with some nonsense. We're prone to say, shut up and listen. But not Jesus. Christ was only the hint of a rebuke. He paused in his momentous glimpse into eternity. For the first interruption took place when Jesus said, you know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas, the disciple who always liked to pat his feet on solid ground, and perhaps didn't have too much poetry in his face, and he said, what is it, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way. And calmly and with quiet patience, Jesus answered and told Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no sooner had Jesus got back to telling the little circle that they could look to him and see the divine heartbeat, Philip brought up and introduced another interruption. And Philip's request is what our sermon is doing this morning. He wanted things to be made clear to him. So Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Now, the name Philip is Greek, and it may be that contact with the Greek mentality, with his penchant for getting to the bottom of things and finding out the essential truth, and whatever was being viewed or told had affected or infected Philip's mind. So when Jesus said that people knowing him should also know the Father, Philip thought that the time had come to straighten out a matter that had bothered him for a long time. Philip was thinking what Jesus said, that he pointed to God as his teacher. Was he saying that he, Jesus, somehow symbolized God? So to Philip, this was far too important, far too important a matter to be glossed over and to remain unclear. So Philip cried out and posed to Jesus as natural, maybe human request, as human lips have ever uttered. Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Now, I must admit that Philip's request is similar to that desire in all of us and our hearts. We want to know if there's somebody out in the stratosphere anywhere who's got the whole world in his hand, or this great ball that we call Earth aimlessly and pointlessly in a vast ocean of space. We want to know if there's a God anywhere, and we earnestly desire for somebody to hear us when we call, to watch over us while we slumber and sleep, to direct our footsteps, so we can certainly bear anything if we know for certain that we're not in this by ourselves. And I join my heart and voice to Philip, Lord, show us the Father. We want to know in the long way that we must travel if there's one who will guide our steps where we've been bruised by life and our hearts are sore and bleeding. We need to know that God will bind our wounds and drive our fears away. When we're scared and shaking with care, we need a Father to put his hand on our spirit and tell it, peace be still. Put me alongside Philip, Lord, show us the Father. Show me him who weighed the mountains in the scales and the hills in a valley. Show me him who is our shepherd and who takes care of all of our needs. Show me him who leads us beside the still waters and into the green pasture. I want to see him who neither slumbers or sleeps and who will supply all of our needs. Lord, show me the Father. Jesus took this certain man unceremonious interruption so calmly and so kindly. He said, notice now he calls me. And I just love being in a relationship with a Savior who deals with each and every one of us at a personal level. Those of us who know Jesus can never truly understand how our loving Lord is able to keep us so well as he can, every one of us. He deals with all of our troubles on an individual basis. We have a Savior who calls our name. Philip, that says to me that the Lord knows who we are. Oh, yes, he does. He knows where we live. He knows what our condition is. He knows what we need. I read that Jesus said the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And then he said, I am the good shepherd and I know the sheep. So Jesus answered Philip's request by saying, Philip, you mean to tell me that I've been with you this long time and you still don't understand? Now, it's reasonable for those who don't know me not to understand. How can it be that those who have been so close to and experienced so much will not see how it all is? And let me stop here and just be truthful this morning. Nothing hurt the Savior's heart more than our dullness in the relationship. I don't know how many times when I face some trying matter, some unbearable issue in my life, that seems too much for me. I think about it, I examine it, I reflect on it, and I picture the whole situation in my mind. Then if the matter seems insolvable and terrifying in the sense of uselessness and discouragement comes upon me. And it's only later when I come and get in the right mind, and my mind tells me, aren't you forgetting about God? Don't you know that He can fix anything? He specializes in the basic ways, not out of no ways. He's a God who can supply all of your needs. And what's worse, in our slowness to lean on God, is that He has delivered us time and time again. So you can put your name in place of Philip's name. And then James was saying, have I been so long a time with you, and you still don't know me? That personal. And then after Jesus made that statement, He got another statement that is staggering. The word is that Jesus said are the most astonishing and gigantic, most sweeping words that the world has ever known. He made the declaration that He who has seen me has seen the Father. In other words, Jesus was saying, I and my Father are one. His work was enough. Is that a man from Nazareth still has the calluses of physical labor in his hand, who was shortly faced a horrible death on Calvary, and he uttered such a word, and that word still stands. This is the bedrock faith of Christian believers. We've seen God in the face of Christ Jesus. And Jesus is all the God we need. In Jesus, the Father has come down out of the clouds and tabernacle to where you and I live. In Jesus, the Father has made Himself forever visible. In Jesus, the Father has visited His lost and wandering children in a far country. In Jesus, the Father has made known His true makeup. Jesus tells us and shows us that God goes about doing good. God in Christ heals the sick and raises the dead. Give vision to the blind and let deaf people hear the music of glory. God in Christ visits families that are mourning and sits down at the feet of those who are rejoicing. Jesus is all the God we need, and God in Christ forgives sin. He promises to be with us in life, to come and get us in that death box. I love to think of the divine sonship and the power of Jesus. Jesus, that beautiful Jesus, was born contrary to the law of birth. He had a virgin mother, and He died triumphant over the law of death. His Jesus, born in poverty, but wise men brought their riches to the lowliness of His manger. Here He is, born a helpless baby, but it was him who spoke the spirit word into existence and sustained the mighty pillars of the universe by his own word. He was cradled in somebody else's crib. He sailed on someone else's boat. He rolled off someone else's donkey, and he was buried in somebody else's tomb. And yet, all of the unsearchable riches belong to him. Jesus had no possessions except a garment that the Roman soldiers gambled over when he died. And yet the earth is his, and the fullness thereof, and the cattle on a thousand hills belong to him. He was a baby, yet he frightened the king. He was a boy, and he confused scholars. He was a man, and he made the angry storm be still, and he quieted the waters and hushed the sea until it laid down to sleep upon the bosom at his command. He healed all manners of diseases and didn't charge a fee. He wrote a book. He wrote no book. Yet libraries can't hold all the books that are written in his name. He composed no music. But musical geniuses have laid their talent down at his feet. Herod couldn't kill him. Satan couldn't seduce him. Sin couldn't stand. The roaring sea could not withstand him. Sinners couldn't resist him. Death couldn't destroy him, and the grave couldn't hold him. He's the rose of Sharon for those who know no beauty. He's the captain of the Lord's host for all who are in bondage. He's the priest bearing our sin offering all by himself. Jesus is God enough for us now, and when the journey is over, he's God enough to get us home to glory. He promised us a better land than this, that somewhere there is a bright side. He promises that somewhere God lives and all is way. Somewhere there's a land of the true where we will live anew. Somewhere the Lord is lifted by the gate that's been closed in our face. Somewhere the clouds are lifted and our burdens are laid down. Somewhere the angels will sing forever and the Sabbath will have no end. Somewhere the sun is shining and the storm is all passed over. Somewhere, friends will meet to part no more. Lord, show us the Father. Better yet, I can see him in Christ Jesus. The same Jesus that woke us up this morning. That same Jesus that traveled down 24 generations for the manger in Bethlehem. That same Jesus who tabernacled down here for 33 years, healing the sick, raising the dead, giving sight to the blind. That same Jesus who went to Calvary, come, bled, and died for your sins and mine. The world. Sunday morning, he got up with all power in both heaven and earth in his hands. If you know Jesus, you know the Father. And if you know the Father, you know all is well. I've got a Father who knows me. I've got a Father who has all power. I've got a Father who not only knows me, but he loves me. And every now and then, he blesses me and blesses me. Do you know him? Isn't he all right? Thank God that you know Jesus today. If you know Jesus, that's your only option.
Amen.
Yes, we're living in trying times, but can nobody take a trying time and make you a good time but you.
Amen.
Give your burden to Jesus and he'll restrain your burden for a blessing. I'm a living witness. Oh, yes, he will. Lord, show us the Father. Show us the Father. And as he shows us, make sure you follow where he leads.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
What does Mike ask me?
No. No. I'm up.
You're up, God.
Thank you.